thing, didn't he? I mean, he prayed and fire fell from heaven and all the prophets of Baal were slain. I mean, he was working for God, empowered by God, faith in God. And I mean, cloud nine, if you can use that terminology. I mean, he was on the mountaintop. I mean, there was nothing stopping him, and his faith was as strong as faith could be. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." I think she was mad. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. And he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. And he came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And said, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." Now he's having a bad day. Had a good day, great day with the Lord. Now he's having a bad day. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him, said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. Amen. You can be seated again tonight. Thank you for standing for the reading of the opening scriptures tonight. Amen. The title of the message tonight is The Need to Receive. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Need to Receive. As I've already mentioned, Elijah has done great things for God, and the power of God has been with Elijah, and the voice of God has been with Elijah. And Elijah has fulfilled everything God has asked him to do to the T. I mean, just everything that God spoke to Elijah, he fulfilled it. And God showed forth his power by the fire falling from heaven and devouring up the sacrifice and licking up all the water in the ditch, and just God showing himself strong and giving courage to the people to serve the Lord. And all the prophets of Baal were slain that day that were there. And a great battle was won for God. And then all of a sudden, Elijah gets threatened personally from Queen Jezebel. She sends him messengers, and he flees for his life, which that's great. I would do the same thing. I think you would too. I mean, if someone come threatening you that we're going to kill you today, I think I would get up and I would move somewhere else at that moment of time. And so he journeys, but then something begins to transpire in his journey. And he leaves his servant behind in Beersheba. And then he goes a day's journey into the wilderness. So somewhere in amongst this journey and this fleeing for his life, the enemy, if you will, begins to bombard his mind. Have you ever had that happen? And it usually happens right after a wonderful move of God. It does. I can go back years ago when we first got saved. And we'd come to the house of God and the power of God would move. We would have a mighty move of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Lord would move. Strength would be given. Sometimes bodies would be healed. I mean, just the power of God was present to do whatever needed to be done, and there was rejoicing and praising and magnifying God. And by the time we got halfway home, the arguments would begin. Now, if you travel home alone, then the only person you're going to argue with is yourself. But sometimes that happens too, praise God. Hallelujah. But it seems like that after all that great move of God, carnality come on the scene. What brings that about? The enemy comes in, to try to steal what God has already wrought, what God has said, what God has done, and he tries to take away, all the faith that we attained in that meeting, in that service. Well, Elijah was no different. The Bible says he was a man like you and I were. Or am, or are. Amen. In other words, he was a man of like passions. He had the same feelings you have. He was just a mere mortal man. He was a human being. And he was susceptible, amen, and kind of what I'm after here, he was susceptible to depression. Depression is real. It's part of our emotions. And I've got something I'm going to read to you about that. But here he is. In other words, he leaves everybody behind and he isolates himself. And he you find that he sits down underneath a juniper tree. He's just sitting there now, and he's requesting, he's praying, he's asking God, he's asking the Lord, just to take my life, take me home. I am tired of this. I've had enough of this. I can't do this anymore. Take me home. Hallelujah. I can relate to that. I can relate to that. Hallelujah. Because it's real. We get tired of the warfare. We get tired of the battle. We get tired of everything that's going on. Elijah was no different than you and I. And he began to ask that he could even just his life be taken and take me on to heaven. I'm not any better than my fathers. In other words, he was down in himself. I mean, he'd just done everything God asked him to do. And now it's all turning south in his mind. And I want to emphasize south in his mind, because it wasn't really turning south. God hadn't changed, God hadn't moved, and God hadn't left. Elijah was just going through a time where he had to recover, a time where he had to revive, a time where he had to renew, a time where he had to refresh, because this is how the enemy comes against the child of God after God has moved in some wonderful ways. And so God is still there. We know this because now he's under the juniper tree. Now he's fallen asleep under the juniper tree. And I don't know about you, but what do you do when you get depressed? You just want to sleep. You just want away from it. You just want to go ahead, go to sleep. Maybe when you wake up, it'll be different. It's real. It's real. I mean, I everybody does that under depression, and I do that under pain. You can ask my wife. I mean, when kidney stones came on the scene in my life, I mean, the only thing I wanted to do, I'd find me a heating pad. I put my heating pad on the pain, and I would roll over, and I would go, I'd go to sleep. Because I knew I couldn't deal with the pain while I was awake. And so I would go to sleep on purpose, hoping that when I woke up, it would have moved enough to relieve the pain. Because if you've had a kidney stone, you realize sometimes they come, and when they come, they put you down, and then they can be gone just as quick. Until they are gone totally. And then just when you don't know, here it shows up again, and I want to do the same thing. Heating pad, go to sleep. Because I want it to go away. And Elijah was no different than that. Everybody's that way in times of depression. Depression. What is that? That's when the enemy bombards our minds and tries to convince us that everything is worse than it's ever been. And that God is not listening. God is not there. I mean, he pours it on and pours it on and pours it on. I mean, if you just got a blessing in the Holy Ghost, he'll say, oh, that wasn't God. That's how he works. That's how he operates. He tries to bring fear. He tries to bring doubt. He tries to bring unbelief. He goes to great means to bring you and I to a place where our faith begins to falter. But this is where the title, I've got to realize my need to receive from my God. Hallelujah. I can't win this battle on my own. Though we may try, even Elijah was trying because he just went to sleep hoping it would go away. That's my imagination. That's my opinion. But it's very evident from verse number 5 that, behold, the angel touched him. Now, I don't know about you, but I think if I was in a full deep sleep and the angel of God come and touched me, I think I would be a little more startled than Elijah was. Yeah, I think I would jump up and probably begin to praise God, magnify God, and ask God for forgiveness. But what does Elijah do? And said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, in other words, he finally woke up. He looked. There was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And this is the part that really blows me away. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. He probably thought he was dreaming. Maybe he thought he was dreaming. This can't be real. I'm dreaming this. God wouldn't do this for me. Isn't it amazing how we explain away what God's doing for us a lot of times when he's doing it for us? Yet we think, oh, God wouldn't do that for me. And this can't be God. And that. Well, Elijah was no different. The title of this excerpt is Taking the Initiative Against Depression. Number one, it's going to come. You're not exempt from depression. It's going to come. But when it starts coming, then I have to start taking the initiative, because it is the attack of the enemy. It doesn't come from God. It is the attack of the enemy upon our mere mortal minds. And so we find then the angel in this passage did not give Elijah a vision. He did not explain scriptures to him. And he did not do anything remarkable other than the fact that there was bread and water and fire. He had food to eat, water to drink to sustain him. So the angel didn't bring anything that would really startle him. If we never knew, or if we were never depressed, we would not be alive. Only material things don't suffer depression. If human beings were not capable of depression, we would have no capacity for happiness and exaltation. There are things in life that are designed to depress us. For example, things that are associated with death. Whenever you examine yourself, always take into account your capacity for depression. When the Spirit of God comes to us, He does not give us glorious visions, but He tells us to do the most ordinary things imaginable. Depression tends to turn us away from the everyday things of God's creation. But whenever God steps in, His inspiration is to do the most natural, simple things. Things we would never have imagined God was in. But as we do them, we find Him there. And notice, kind of the emphasis here is when the Spirit of God shows up on the scene. And inspiration begins to come from God. If, however, we do something simply to overcome our depression, it will only deepen it. But when the Spirit of God leads us instinctively to do something, the moment we do it, the depression is gone. As soon as we arise and obey, we enter a higher plane of life. See, this is the initiative against depression. Seeing my need to receive. Not trying to overcome it mentally, but seeing my need to receive the inspiration of my God. and he may unction and inspire something very simple. But what brings the power is when I obey that inspiration of the Holy Ghost and I move to where he bids me come. And the moment I obey that unction, that inspiration, that's when the glory, the power shows up and my depression is overcome. Hallelujah. In 1 Kings 19 and 7, we'll move on with the story. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time. See, he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. So here we are twice. Elijah's been told to arise and eat. So his first inspiration from God was simply just arise and eat what's before you. The second visitation of God was the same thing. Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Elijah, you're not going to make it through this. You're not going to overcome this. Verse number 8. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Hello. Woo! Here we have Superman, if you will. Here we have Elijah that is ready to die. He falls asleep in his depression. He is awakened once and told to arise to eat. And he goes back to sleep. And then the angel comes again and wakes him up again and says, arise and eat, because the journey's too great for thee. And so that gave some inspiration to Elijah that it's time to get up. Because we're going to be on the move now. Hallelujah. And so he arose and he did eat and he drank. There was the obedience to the command. The second part of that command, and we don't kind of see all of it there, but when that angel said, for the journey's too great for thee, he was letting Elijah know it's time for you to travel. It's time for you to leave this behind. It's time for the depression to be gone. There is work to be done. And so he gives him that unction, that inspiration. And here we find he goes 40 days and 40 nights in the power of that meat that God gave to him. Hallelujah. Signifying to you and I that the same power is available for you and I also, as we start allowing the Holy Ghost to inspire us, unction us, to move forward with the plan of God, with the work of God. Hallelujah. I mean, when Elijah come into this situation, he had no thought of what God was going to want him to do at all. His only thought was, get me out of here. I don't want to deal with this anymore. But by the time the Holy Ghost or the angel of the Lord began to minister to him, give him that food, we find that something supernatural is going on. The power of God's going on. That same spirit, oh my, that he felt, that deep fire fell from heaven and consumed that sacrifice, was now on the scene again. Hallelujah. And now he went 40 days and 40 nights all the way to Mount Horeb. Hallelujah. To where he was going to have some unction, direction, from an almighty God that was going to help him continue the work he had been called to do. But he had to realize his need to receive. The Holy Ghost is the one that's going to take us through our times of depression. Hallelujah. We may sleep. We may want to be gone from it. We may want to go in the rapture. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Hallelujah. But we've got to realize and understand that he hasn't come, and he may come this moment. But if he doesn't come, then I have been given a command to occupy till he does come. Hallelujah. And so he's got what I'm going to need to occupy and move forward and move upward and move into the plan that he's got for my life. Woo! Just because things go south doesn't mean God's plan has changed one iota. Hallelujah. Things went south for Elijah, but God's plans for him had not changed one bit. Had a little hiccup in it here with his time of depression, but then he moved forward in the power and the might of the Holy Ghost of God, that Spirit of the Lord. He went, this is amazing to me. Can you imagine Brother Jason going 40 days and 40 nights on just a piece of bread and some water? Woo! We love seeing the hamburgers come while we was working at Flor May's house. Hallelujah. We love knowing we was coming to the church to eat some sandwiches and some dessert. We look forward to the nourishment because we knew our bodies were weary and tired. And we look forward to the time of break. Hallelujah. But I couldn't even fathom going 40 days and 40 nights on just one piece of bread and a glass of water. Woo! That's our God, though. That's our God. That's what we've got to understand. That's what we've got to lay hold of. 1 Kings 19:9. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? Oh, my. Isn't that like God? You've got to understand, this is where God's sinning. This is where he was supposed to go. This was his inspiration. This was his unction. We didn't catch all that. But Elijah knew where he needed to go when the angel told him, you're going to journey. And he knew how long that journey, 40 days and 40 nights he journeyed to get here. That's why the angel said, you need what God's got for you to get where you need to be. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Ooh. And then God says, what are you doing here, Elijah? Sometimes we need to let the Lord know why we're ready to do what he wants us to do. I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I, only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. He's still having a little bit of problems here with thinking he's the only one that's going through stuff like this. And he's still saying, I'm the only one left, and they want to kill me too. Verse number 11, and he said, go forth, stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains, break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. That doesn't mean God didn't cause the wind. That means Elijah received no communication out of that majestic move of God. You ever been in a mighty move of God and you feel like you hadn't heard anything? There's a reason. Because he's trying to get us to a position and a place where we can really hear what he's got to say. If God had spoken in that earthquake and breaking those rocks in pieces, Elijah might got plumb beside it and took off without really hearing what needed to be done. I've seen that happen in people's lives. Mighty move of God, powerful move of the Holy Ghost, and they're just, I'm going for God, and they have no idea where they're going. What they're doing. They're just ready to do. Well, you need to back up here just a little bit so you can tarry long enough at the altar till you hear that still small voice so you'll know what you're on fire for God for. Because if you get on fire for God with no purpose, no plan, no unction, it's going to fizzle out about that quick. It's not going to last because you have no directive. And he said, let me move on down. And so, but the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. This is what you're after. In your time of depression, this is what you're after. In your time of not understanding, this is what you're after. In your time when you don't know which way to go or which way's up or which way's down, this is what you're after right here. You're not after the wind, you're not after the earthquake, and you're not after the fire. You are after that still, small voice. And it was so that when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out of the cave. He went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" I'm not going through the rest of the story, but you realize here we are, my need to receive. And what I need to receive is the voice of my God giving me the directive in the path that I'm in right now, in the journey I'm in right now. I need the directive of my God in the time of dilemma, that still small voice of the Lord, because that's when my faith is going to escalate again, because I have heard the voice of my God. Hallelujah. It's not a matter of just going to Scripture, reading Scripture, reading Scripture, reading Scripture, reading Scripture. It's a matter of knowing the voice of our God. Hallelujah. So that He can give inspiration. He can give directive. He can give unction. Hallelujah. For the plan and the purpose that He has for this very present moment of time. Because He's got a plan for today. He's got a plan for tomorrow. And me, as a child of God, I've got to get a hold of His plan for what is in front of my face. I need to receive from my God. I need to receive that divine unction from my God. Hallelujah. I need to leave depression behind. I need to leave the lies of the enemy behind. I need to move into that cave. Hallelujah. Until I hear the voice of God. Hallelujah. So then I can go forth, because Elijah was now ready to do whatever God wanted done. That's what we're after. Are you ready to do whatever God wants to be done in the midst of the dilemma that is setting before you? And do it for the glory and the honor of your King. Whoa, hallelujah to the Lamb. Oh my, Oswald Chambers said, "It is impossible to read too much, but always keep before you why you read. Remember that the need to receive, recognize, and rely on the Holy Spirit, that's before all else." Hallelujah. It's the Holy Ghost that's going to quicken the word. No matter how much you read, it's the Spirit of God that's going to bring it alive. And so the most important part is my need to receive what the Holy Ghost has for me. Hallelujah. To help me go forward in the power of His might, in the directive of His Spirit. Hallelujah. In conjunction with His word. Hallelujah, praise be to the King. We've got to be careful. Jeremiah 2:13 says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water." In other words, they've done two evils. They've forsaken the living water, the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Word of God quickened by the Holy Ghost. But not only did they leave that, they generated their own directives. They generated their own ways. They generated their own source of overcoming whatever was before them. And so that's two evils. We don't want to do either one of these. We don't want to do it our own way. We don't want to figure it out our own way. We just want that fountain of living water to bring about God's way. Hallelujah. In our heart, in our soul, in our mind, so that we can go forward in power and peace and joy. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. I'm going to close with this verse, John 6:51. Jesus said, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Jesus Christ is our bread of life. Woo! Jesus Christ, He's the source of going 40 days and 40 nights. Amen on our journey. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise be to God. Glory. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Hallelujah. They shall mount up as wings on wings, as wings of eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. Waiting on the Lord for the promise given. Hallelujah. Waiting on the Lord to send from heaven the power, the power. Oh, we need that Holy Ghost power. I need to receive. Hallelujah. I need to receive from the Lord. I need to receive from my God. Hallelujah, because it is my only hope. Oh, hallelujah. We are, Sister Pepper, you can come back to the piano tonight. We are living in a sin-sick world. And we are living in a sin-sick America. And oh, wow, what the world needs to see is what you and I have to offer. Amen. The power of the Spirit of God as we face this darkness that's coming upon the land. I mean, hey, wow. I mean, we have been going through the mill here just lately. I'm talking, we got to thinking about it, just the other night. I mean, the car that flew by our car in the parking lot of the UPS store, I mean, just, I'm talking 2-3 seconds sooner, had Sister Pepper opened that door and stepped out, she'd be dead today. But she was starting to get out, and then she realized she needed the QR code to be up on her phone, so she stopped and reached back down for her phone, and whoosh, there went that car. Sister Lindsay's life was in jeopardy. Fire. Wow. I was singing the old song, "Though God slay me, yet I'll trust him." They came from the book of Job. I mean, Lord, how much more? How much more, God? But though you slay me, I'm going to trust you. I'm going forward with you. This is, I mean, it's been rough, church. It's been rough. But I need to receive. Hallelujah. I need to receive what God's got for me here this night. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because we got a journey ahead of us. Hallelujah. And not only we, you've got a journey ahead of you. We're not the only ones going through things. You're going through things too. Why? Because we're the church. We're standing strong. We're committed to the cause. And the true church is being narrowed down to a very small remnant. And that means the devil don't have to go very far to attack. He's got the majority of the church world in the palm of his hand. The Bible, the book of Revelation calls it the harlot church. It's alive and well right now. What is the harlot church? It's that church that could care less about what God wants done as long as they're looking good. The true church is the Philadelphia church that is set on doing the will of God even when nobody else is. The remnant. The last days. Who's going in the rapture? Well, the Bible says those that overcome. In other words, those that do the will of the Lord. Those that are see their need to receive and are walking according to the unction and the inspiration and the divine instruction of the Holy Ghost of God in the wonderful Word of God. Hallelujah. Praise be to the King. Hallelujah. Let's stand together tonight. You see, I don't know your dilemmas. I really don't know what you're facing, but I really kind of feel like we're all facing something, because the enemy is no respecter of persons either. Hallelujah. And if he can come against you and pull you down, he's going to come against you and pull you down. Hallelujah. But yet at the same time, if I will rise up and see my need to receive, and I come before my King, woo, and I get an audience with my King. Hallelujah. It's not going to be an angel that's going to bring bread and water. It's going to be the Holy Ghost that brings power, wisdom, understanding, hallelujah, and faith. Glory, glory to our God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. Could we lift our hands tonight? Hallelujah. And just begin to reach out. Oh, just begin to make ourselves available. Just begin to ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened. Hallelujah. Oh, because it is God's desire to strengthen his people. It is God's desire to strengthen his church. It is God's desire to pour out the Holy Ghost upon our hearts, our minds. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God that we can continue to be the warrior he's called us to be in these last days. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Oh, he's forever the same. He is never changing. Hallelujah. Praise be to his name. And Lord, you are a present help in our time of need. Hallelujah. Lord, and we see the need, Lord, to receive tonight, God. Lord, meet us.